Welcome to Curie, the podcast that gives healthcare professionals the stories behind the headlines, grounded in science and focused on your clinical reality. I'm Mike. Today, we're diving into one of the most consequential drug policy decisions of the year, one that's transforming obesity and diabetes treatment practically overnight. It's about the FDA's decision to ban compounded versions of semaglutide and tirzepatide, popularly known by their brand names Ozempic, Mogovi, Mounjaro, and Zepbound. If you're seeing more confusion in your waiting rooms, more emails from patients about sudden access changes, or more colleagues trying to adapt protocols, this is why. Let's rewind for a moment. Over the past 3 years, GLP-1 receptor agonists have become blockbuster drugs for both type 2 diabetes and obesity. They've redefined weight loss therapy, generated billions in revenue, and transformed public discourse around metabolic health. But as their popularity surged, supply simply couldn't keep up, so patients and the market found a workaround. Compounded GLP-1. These unbranded formulations produced by outsourcing pharmacies and sold widely via telehealth platforms allowed tens of thousands of patients to access the drugs despite national shortages. But on May 22, 2025, the FDA declared that semaglutide was no longer in shortage and ordered an end to all compounding of the drug. Just 2 months earlier, the same had happened with tirzepatide. The message was clear. The era of off-label, off-brand GLP-1 is over. So what does this actually mean for healthcare professionals and their patients? Let's break it down. First, the scale of this shift is massive. Olympia Pharmaceuticals alone, one of the biggest compounders in the GLP-1 space, had been supplying semaglutide and tirzepatide to over 70,000 patients per week. These weren't fringe medications. They were central to many treatment plans. Now, Olympia and others like it have halted production. Telehealth startups are pivoting hard. Many now promoting liraglutide, an older GLP-1 receptor agonist, as replacement. But for those of you who've prescribed Saxenda or Victoza, you know this isn't a simple switch. Unlike the weekly semaglutide injections, liraglutide must be administered daily. It comes with stronger side effects and on average produces less weight loss. Still, it remains legal to compound for now because it's technically still in shortage. Patients are feeling the impact. Michelle Pierce, who is using compounded semaglutide, told KFF Health News, "Now that it's coming off shortage, I am planning to get off the medication. I absolutely cannot afford to completely pay out of pocket." That sentiment is likely widespread because for many, compounded versions were the only financially viable option. But the FDA has its reasons. Compounded drugs are not FDA approved. There's no assurance of purity, stability, or even correct dosing. And the agency has received hundreds of adverse event reports related to compounded GLP-1. Issues have included severe gastrointestinal symptoms, inconsistent responses, and in some cases, serious safety concerns due to the use of non-standard salt forms like semaglutide sodium or acetate instead of the free base used in FDA-approved versions. Dr. Jody Duche, a Harvard endocrinologist, summed up the concern simply, "You just don't have that security. I don't know what's in this compound." It's not just regulators who are concerned. Drug makers themselves are now taking legal action. Eli Lilly has sued multiple compounders and telehealth platforms for selling unauthorized versions of tirzepatide, sometimes marketed with added vitamins or custom formulations. Novo Nordisk has been equally aggressive. Meanwhile, the Outsourcing Facilities Association, which represents compounders, sued the FDA, arguing that supply shortages remain. Courts, however, have sided with the FDA, reinforcing its authority to declare when shortages end and compounding must cease. And so we're left with this, a transition period full of confusion, patient frustration, and logistical hurdles for healthcare providers. Some patients are now returning to brand name drugs if they can afford them, but many will need to restart at the initial low dose, especially if they've had a gap in therapy. That adds complexity to titration plans, side effect management, inpatient counseling. For others, liraglutide might be the only available alternative. But as Dr. Justin Ryder, a pediatric obesity expert, notes, it is better than nothing, but expectations should be held in check. Dr. Angela Fitch, another obesity specialist, adds, it might be more affordable to take a more potent drug. and was also a broader systemic concern, compounded GLP-1 weren't just a workaround. They were the only path for many patients. With that path now closed, disparities in access are likely to grow. Insurance coverage remains patchy, particularly for weight loss indications. Patients may face higher out-of-pocket costs, increased prior authorization hurdles, or simply go without. Dr. Disha Narang at Endeavor Health put it bluntly, the shortage is much better, insurance coverage is much worse. So what can clinicians do now? First, be proactive in communicating these changes to patients. Many won't understand why their prescriptions are suddenly unavailable or why they can't switch to another compounded version. Second, anticipate more patients asking about liraglutide and be prepared to walk through its pros, cons, and limitations. Third, explore manufacturer portals. Both Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk have launched online platforms to help eligible patients access brand name medications at reduced cost. And finally, don't be surprised if patients push back. For many, the compounded versions were not a luxury. They were the only reason they could engage in treatment at all. This isn't just a formulary update. It's a major inflection point in obesity care. As the dust settles, the medical community will need to keep advocating for better coverage, clearer policies, and safe, equitable access to effective treatments. The FDA has drawn a line. Now it's up to the rest of the system, clinicians, insurers, and patients to figure out how to move forward. Thanks for listening. This is Curie. I'm Mike. If you found this episode helpful, there's more waiting for you at curie.md. That's curie.md, where you'll find our full podcast archive, concise medical news updates, and interactive games designed specifically for healthcare professionals. Again, that's curie.md, your go-to destination for staying informed, engaged, and connected.